5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo Show. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for hanging out with us here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We very much appreciate it. Kyler Murray, the visit in Norman, Oklahoma, according to Jordan Bird, our producer, who looked it up on a flight tracking website. Apparently the Cardinals have indeed landed from their trip to Norman, Oklahoma for their visit. What could be their one and only visit? It could be the first of many visits with Kyler Murray. We don't know, but as Sarah mentioned, there were reports, multiple reports, that today was the day the Cardinals were going to meet with Kyler Murray, the potential number one pick overall. Gambo brought up a real good point earlier in the show, and it's one we've kind of been circling back to all day. It's part of our Twitter poll question here on the Burns and Gambo Show. This time a year ago, the Valley was thrilled because the Suns.
It was a great time.
It was a fun time.
Suns had the number one overall pick in the draft. DeAndre Ayton was going to be the pick. We all knew it. The Cardinals, we were about to get Josh Rosen. And not exactly at this time, but within, you know,
well, if you think about it,
the number one pick in the 2018 NBA draft goes to the Phoenix Suns.
Yes! Yes!
Like,
Listen,
level of excitement from on a scale of 1 to 10 was an 11. Everybody was thrilled. They were besides themselves. They couldn't believe it. The Suns got the number one pick. They're going to get a center. First time in their history, they're going to have a legitimate center. The kid was a monster. He was a beast. He's having a great rookie season. He's having a really, really good rookie season. And he's going to get better, and he's going to be a force in this league for a long time. He's not a bust. I mean, this isn't like the guy Portland drafted. What was his name?
Anthony Bowie?
No.
Greg Oden.
Yeah, Greg Oden. Anthony Bowie got hurt. He would have been good, man. He broke his leg like four times. But Greg Oden, yeah, this kid's legit. He's going to be good. And everybody was so excited that the Suns got him.
Well, especially since that came, the draft lottery was what, about 3 weeks after the NFL draft, if I remember right? I mean, there was only about 3 weeks separating the NFL draft when the Cardinals moved up to get Josh Rosen, and between the NBA draft lottery when we found out the Suns were going to have the number one pick, right? It was like the end of April to the middle of May. That time, in it, for as bad as things were, that time in Arizona sports was an awesome time. You saw the Cardinals get aggressive, get a franchise quarterback, something they hadn't done since Matt Leinart, right? Then a few weeks later, you win the draft lottery. It's going to be DeAndre Ayton, and we were debating all summer long, who's going to make the bigger impact? Who's going to be the bigger star? Who's going to do the greater things, DeAndre Ayton or Josh Rosen? And here we are a year later, and Josh Rosen and DeAndre Ayton have a chance to be basically supplanted by this next wave of potential greatness coming through.
In Zion Williamson and Kyler Murray.
Potentially, right? Yeah. And that's the crux of our poll question today. Which duo are you more excited about? A Zion Williamson-Kyler Murray duo or a DeAndre Ayton-Josh Rosen duo? Now, the flaw with the question, I'll just say this real quick. Kyler Murray would replace Josh Rosen. Zion Williamson would be in addition to DeAndre Ayton. So it's not a straight swap, right? It's not like we're trading two for two here. But it doesn't surprise me at all that Zion Williamson and Kyler Murray are winning because there's that much buzz about Zion Williamson.
By the way, it was Sam Bowie.
What did I say?
Somebody said Anthony Bowie.
Bowie. Sorry.
Might have been me. I don't know.
No, it was me. I think I said Anthony Bowie. Sam Bowie. Yeah.
Ended up playing for the Nets, and he was actually pretty good. He just broke his leg.
That's my bad. You can find me for that if you want.
No, fine there.
Anthony Bowie.
It was Sam Bowie.
Yeah, no, I don't know why. I'm trying to think why I said Anthony.
Yeah. I think last year's impact was phenomenal. I don't know that it could get any better than that. Because you got the number one pick in the draft. I knew it was going to be DeAndre Ayton. I think most people thought there was a debate between Ayton and Doncic, but there really wasn't. They were always taking DeAndre Ayton. In the NFL, they weren't in a really great position to get a quarterback. They weren't. They were kind of on the outside looking in and trying to figure out what they were going to do. That's why they got Sam Bradford and paid him $15 million freaking dollars, because it didn't look like they were in a good spot to get a quarterback. But Rosen fell. And then the Raiders, they were able to make an easy trade with the Raiders and not give up much. They were going to have a hard time moving up to 5 or 6 or 7 or even 8. And that's why at the time I did say that Rosen is the only quarterback that I had on my Gambo 5 list as an honorable mention. Gambo 5 list, that this is a guy that they could take. But I did not think they were going to move up for him. I didn't, and they didn't think they were going to move up for him. But when he fell that far to the Raiders, it was like, okay, let's make the deal. When they got Rosen, there was a lot of excitement that they got a franchise quarterback, that he'd be here for 15 years, that they wouldn't have to draft a quarterback for 10 years. And people were actually excited about Rosen because, do you remember, who was the guy? Was it Trent Dilfer that we had on?
Yes, on our draft coverage. On draft coverage. You guys just drafted the next Aaron Rodgers.
I mean,
congratulations.
Like, okay, so here we are. It's the draft. They just draft Josh Rosen, and Trent Dilfer comes on and says, you just won the entire draft. How could you not feel excited?
Oh, I was thrilled.
How did everybody not feel like...
Oh, I remember we were done with our draft show, and I thought, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Right.
The Cardinals just got their franchise quarterback.
And I'm like,
they were aggressive, they moved up.
They're not going to draft a quarterback for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and they might do it a year later.
A year later.
I think, which is nuts to think about. Look, last year will be pretty hard to top, okay? You heard my excitement when the Suns won the draft lottery. Yes, yes, and then the Josh Rosen thing and all that. The reason why I think this year is, it's all about Zion Williamson, if you're going to compare this year's additions to last year's additions. And here's why. If the Cardinals do indeed, well, no matter what the Cardinals do, all right? No matter what the Cardinals do, they're either going to choose Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray to be their quarterback of the future. Okay?
Yes.
With that is going to come the trepidation and the nervousness of, what if you get it wrong? What if you get it wrong? What if the guy you don't pick ends up having the better career? What if the guy you don't pick ends up being the better player? If you finish with the number one pick in the NBA draft and Zion Williamson, you can't screw that up.
You can screw this up.
The NFL thing, the Cardinals can screw this up.
Yes.
Okay? The Suns cannot screw this up if they finish number one. You take the transcendent, generational, oh my God, did you see what Zion Williamson did tonight kind of player.
Whoever gets the number one pick, the team with the number two pick is on the clock.
Yes.
The team with the number one pick, it's done, it's over.
And you're not trading that pick, it's not for sale.
Work guys out, you'll go through the process because it's all a learning process and you've got it, and you want information for down the road. But the number one pick is sealed. It's delivered. There's no debate. There's nothing. There's no smoke screens. You might as well just come out and we're taking Zion. We're going to work out, but you are going to work out all these other kids because you may have a chance to, trade for them later on.
So the fact that 75% of our audience voting on our poll is voting for the Zion Williamson Kyler Murray combo as being more exciting than last year's says everything to me about Zion Williamson.
Can I bring up a scenario for you?
Sure.
They don't take Kyler Murray. They take Bosa, or they trade. Rosen has a very mediocre year, below average, doesn't improve that much.
Mm-hmm.
They win 4 games. They get one of the top picks in the draft with Justin Herbert, with Fromm, and with Tagovailoa. Are we back to the same spot next year?
Potentially, yes. It's absolutely possible.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because if Rosen doesn't improve his second year, it's
and they lose more games.
It's panic time. Well,
Rosen's the quarterback. They've improved the defense, but they just can't win games because Rosen is just not good.
And that points...
And then you're back into having a top pick and his 3 stud quarterbacks in the draft next year.
If that hypothetical happens, it might be time for Steve Keim to go on LinkedIn and start working on the old resume, potentially. Because that would not reflect very...
If he has a resume on LinkedIn.
I don't know.
So many requests for LinkedIn like every day, and I don't have one. I don't know how to do a resume.
I don't have a resume on LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is basically your resume now.
Right, but I get requests. People want you to join, or I'm not on it. I'm not on it.
Can I make you a profile?
No,
I
don't want to
create my own resume.
No, I don't want to be on that thing. Is it the people like? Is it a message thing? People contact you?
No, it's like social. It's like Twitter or Facebook, but it's more for jobs and business connections.
Yeah,
more than anything.
I don't want one of those things. Mm-hmm. I got an Instagram and a Twitter.
All right.
And a Facebook. And that's you're good.
I'm
good.
You're
set. More and more teams are being linked to Josh Rosen for a trade, but is the quarterback even a good fit for the one team that seems the most eager? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's
The Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
All right, so we learned two things today on the Burns and Gambo Show. That's our Knowledge Drop. One thing Gambo learned, one thing Jordan learned. I learned nothing so far today on the Burns and Gambo Show, except what you guys taught us. We learned from Gambo that today is the 44th anniversary of the release of Sister Golden Hair.
44 years ago today, America released the number one hit, Sister Golden Hair.
All right. I keep on thinking about you,
Sister Golden Hair Surprise.
The second thing we learned,
I just can't live without,
and I do wonder if this song was blaring out of the speakers of the private jet that went to Norman, Oklahoma today. The second thing we learned today,
I think we should just stop right there. There's nothing better than America 44 years ago.
All right, I guess the show's done, Jordan.
That's a great knowledge show.
Play goodbye to you. We're done. Somebody let Luke Lipinski know that his show starts 45 minutes earlier
than
expected.
Number one song in the country.
We're walking away from the show now. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Good night, everybody. No, we're not ending the show?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
All right, what else did you learn?
That Jordan Bird has the magical Jedi Knight-like ability to track aircraft as they're flying throughout the United
Private
States of America.
Private.
Woo! Jordan just did a little Google search and found himself a plane that left Scottsdale at 9:12 this morning, Arizona time. Landed in Oklahoma about 12:45 local time in Oklahoma. Stayed there for about 3 hours. Flew back to Scottsdale and landed about an hour and 15 minutes ago. We've had people tweeting us, telling us that
plane,
yes, indeed, the plane landed in Scottsdale.
Was Kyle Murray on the plane?
Eyes on the ground at Scottsdale Air Park, and who was on the plane, who was not on the plane. Yeah, apparently Kyler Murray wasn't on the plane, but Jordan tracked the plane in a plane that some people have said is the Cardinals plane. I mean, it doesn't look like it could be anybody else. Flew from Scottsdale to Norman, spent about 3 hours there from Norman to Scottsdale. Sounds like it could be the Cardinals. They did a little visit with Kyler Murray today, right?
You know what we don't know? They were there for such a short time. By the time you land and you get there and then you have to leave to go back, I mean, there's not a lot of time.
Probably spent about 2 hours with them. If this is indeed the plane, and I'm assuming it is, but I don't know for sure, you probably spent about 2 hours with them, given the travel time from the airport to and from where you were going.
Unless you picked them up, you brought them back?
According to
people, they didn't see him.
According to the random Twitter theorists who sent in the Burns and Gambo Show, they did not see Kyler Murray get off the plane.
That is true. Brent
Yost.
We have
people everywhere. No, don't say the guy's name.
I mean, he tweeted us with his name.
It's kind of public record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a private message?
No, it was in our mentions.
I don't want to get anybody fired.
No, I mean, hey, don't tweet us if you don't want us.
We get people at restaurants.
I know how to use Twitter, Gambo.
Yeah.
You might not know how to use LinkedIn. She knows how to use Twitter.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn.
People who work in restaurants send us photos. Look who they're with.
Now, I got to assume.
A lot of ways to get information these days.
I got to assume if the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray number one, that there's going to be a visit here of Kyler Murray. They're going to use one of their 30 visits on their potential future franchise quarterback to come out here and hang out for the day.
So today has to be one.
Was probably just a preliminary kind of get to know you sort of a meeting, but
they had that at the combine.
Yeah.
I actually had a photo sent to me and they were like, is Kyler Murray here? And it was just a photo of like the brass with him at the combine. I had to get back to the person. Yeah. No, that's a combine photo. They were sitting together at the combine. That wasn't the meeting here. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, why they were there, I don't know. I know this. Alabama had their pro day today, and the Cardinals' main brass wasn't there.
Yeah.
They were in Norman, Oklahoma. Yep. Guess who's got a pro day tomorrow? Ohio State and Nick Bosa. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be there. So, I don't think that they love the pro days that much. I think they care more about the private meetings that they have set up.
So, the Rosen speculation, if it's Kyler Murray, and we don't know for sure, but if it is, the Rosen speculation is kind of hitting a little bit of a fever pitch right now. Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer wrote yesterday, quote, teams are still in the dark on the availability of Josh Rosen, but I'm told that is not stopping teams from getting their ducks in a row with guys who've worked with Rosen over the last few years, fielding phone calls and having discussions with intrigued teams gathering background. So these teams that might be intrigued in Josh Rosen are calling around to find out more about Josh Rosen if/when he hits the market. Then there was this tweet from Field Yates earlier in the day, and he points out that any team acquiring Josh Rosen would be on the hook for a three-year, $6.24 million contract, both in terms of cash paid and cap hit, and he surmises that every team in the NFL should at least make a phone call to Arizona about Josh Rosen if he is made available.
It's unreal. I mean, you think about that, $2 million. I mean, this is what happens when, you know, you draft a quarterback there, because now you've got a few years to spend money that's not on a quarterback, because eventually the quarterbacks have to get paid, and that takes up a lot of your payroll. You know, listen, there's a lot of stories out there that teams are starting to prep for the possibility that Rosen will be available without any knowledge that he'll be available. But just because me and you both believe that after the Cardinals have their official visit with Kyler Murray, they will be able to, they will know right then and there. They probably have a really good idea what they're going to do right now, but they just need to be sold on it. They're probably 90% sure what they're going to do at this point, but they just want that extra, get do these extra meetings, go through extra film. You're doing everything you can. It's a, you prep as long as you can. They're going to prep as long as they can to make sure they get it right. It's like studying for a test. This is probably you, not me. You study for a test. You feel like you know it, but then you do a little extra studying just to make sure, right?
Yes.
I'm going to do it. You don't need the extra studying, but you're going to do it just to make sure that you're up on these things. This is the same thing with the draft. I mean, they probably have a good idea what they're going to do right now, but they'll seal the deal once they have their final meeting with him and they're able to go ahead. And by that time, we won't be able to say any longer, no, they don't know what they're going to do. No, they better know what they're going to do after those meetings.
Yeah, and I think you're onto something. I think they probably have a pretty good idea of trade, keep the pick, draft Murray, keep the pick, and draft Bosa. I think they probably know what they're probably going to do, but they need to dot every I and cross every
right.
T. And to be honest with you, until you have Kyler Murray here and you get him here for a day, and you do everything that you do, you put him through all the paces that you're allowed to do as an NFL team, that's not dotting every I and that's not crossing every T. You can't say you've done that until you have that visit here. So I'm sure they have a lean. As far as Josh Rosen is concerned, look, he would be a valuable commodity. And I would expect that teams, given that contractual situation, if there's a GM out there who loved Josh Rosen a year ago and didn't have a chance to get him a year ago, now knowing what they might be able to give up in terms of value to go get him. I mean, we talked about Bill Belichick and the Patriots yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of speculation around the Giants and all the homework they did on Rosen a year ago, having him in for a visit there, right?
They did.
Put him through a workout. I got to imagine those teams are thinking, you know what? He's value. If we give up our second-round pick, our middle first-round pick, our late first-round pick, that's good value for a guy like Josh Rosen, especially a guy in that contract.
Listen, once we hear a team saying they've spoken with the Cardinals, then you know then we'll know that they're going to draft Murray. Right now, it's just a lot of teams being prepared that the Cardinals may end up shopping Josh Rosen. And listen, it may take till draft day to trade Rosen. It literally might take. And I gave you an example earlier, and I'll just go over it again. Say the Giants are picking at 6, and they're like, listen, if I can't get this player at 6, if I can't get Haskins at 6, then I'll trade you for Josh Rosen. I'll give you my 17th pick overall. But the Patriots are willing to give you 32 right now. I'll give you 32 right now. 32 for Rosen. And the Giants are like, well, I'll give you 17 if I don't get Haskins. You could still get 32 from the Patriots on draft day. You just tell the Patriots, wait, and you know, well, that offer's still there. But you might have the ability to get 17 if the Giants don't get their guy. I'm just giving you a scenario that could play out. That's why it's possible that they don't trade Rosen if they're trading him until the draft.
By the way, Jordan just tells me Tom Pelissero over at NFL.com and NFL Network is reporting that Vontaze Burfict is going to sign with the Oakland Raiders. He's going to be on the same team as Antonio Brown. That's going to be fun.
Oof, man, it's a headache for John Gruden.
That's going to be. You let me know how that works out for you, John. Let me know how that works out.
If he can make it past the 1 year, that team is going to be wild in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. Oh, didn't even think about that.
Montez and Antonio Brown in Vegas on the strip.
Team I would most like to party with in Vegas, the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, I think they win that award. Tomorrow, we're going to be hanging out at the AT&T store at Tempe Marketplace, supporting Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundations, matching veterans with pets. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. The Arizona Cardinals have been busy this offseason. There are still holes to fill on their roster. What available free agents could fill those voids? Something we'll talk about next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Fairly Dickinson and Prairie View scratching and clawing for the right to get clobbered by Gonzaga.
Or as Jordan called him, Farley Dickinson.
It's a common mistake.
That's a
Fairly.
Common mistake. It happened.
Wait, whatever conference they play in is like the way Gambo perceives the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, and seriously, honestly, and I mean this as your friend and as your on-air partner and your colleague, you ripping people on their pronunciation is the biggest joke ever perpetrated on mankind. I mean, it really is. Of all the people in this universe not allowed to rip anybody on how they pronounce anything, that would be you.
Wow. Yeah. That's not very nice.
Well, yeah.
He's speaking the truth.
I mean, am I not speaking? Come on, really? You're going to rip Jordan on how he's saying Farley or Fairly?
I don't get many chances to rip people on stuff like that. So, I think that I should just...
That's a very valid point.
I mean, I should take my shots while I can.
I guess that's true. It's just like...
I mean, listen, this is the Northeast Conference.
Okay, you only know that because you looked it up.
Well, no, because I know. Okay, because
reading so off broadcasting, the you're just looking that up right
now. I think they're one of the schools that my daughter almost went to was Iona. Yes. So she and I believe they're in the same. I think they're in the same conference.
I think you're right.
As Iona.
I believe you're right. Yeah, I believe you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean maybe that to be so meanly as it. Usually, I'm not the mean one on the show. It's really out of character when I say things.
Maybe
Iona's
not
like
in that conference. I don't know.
Who knows? It doesn't matter.
So many that proves my point. I'm mispronouncing its name.
Exactly. Gambo is not exactly the person who's allowed.
No, Iona's in the Metro Atlantic
sit
Athletic
in judgment of your pronunciation.
The Robert Mac. Morris of the Northeastern Conference, yeah, right? Robert
Mac.
Morris?
I don't know. We went there for a visit. They offered a full scholarship. We decided to go to Loyola Chicago instead.
And I was trying to flex my Northeastern Conference.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's for another day.
All right, so the Arizona Cardinals Pro Football Focus. And look, free agency, like everything else, like the draft, like any football organization, any individual who hands out grades or says good job, bad job, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Pro Football Focus loved Jordan Hicks going into free agency, so it shouldn't be a surprise that Pro Football Focus has given the Arizona Cardinals one of their five best free agency grades so far. It's based in large part off of Jordan Hicks. That website just thought he was the cat's meow for how he had played the first 4 years of his career. So the Cardinals were listed as one of the five best teams in free agency so far. Other guys like Bill Barnwell, not quite as high on Jordan Hicks. He didn't give the Cardinals a very good grade for that. It's all in the eye of the beholder, but for what it's worth, five teams listed as Pro Football Focus as having done the best job so far adding value in free agency, and the Cardinals were one of the five.
Yeah, one of the things I like the most is about the Cardinals free agency is the lack of guaranteed money in a lot of these contracts. I mean, Jason from Over the Cap, he's a good guy to follow on Twitter for Cap News. I think he had 9 or 10 teams listed that had the most amount of money guaranteed contracts. The Cardinals were not one of those teams. They're not one of the top 9 or 10 teams in guaranteed money. Now, they signed a lot of players, but those players didn't get gigantic guarantees.
And I think that quietly under the radar, that's kind of a big deal.
I do, too.
That the Cardinals, in fact, he presented a chart, a very complicated, it wasn't that complicated, but it was somewhat complicated chart, and I counted, and there were 14 teams that had handed out more guaranteed money this offseason so far than the Cardinals. I think that matters. I think that's
because because it's not going to kill you with dead money on the cap. And that's one of the most important things about it is, and the Cardinals right now are one of the top teams with dead money on the cap. But you don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay there with dead money on the cap. So, they're in a position now where some of these guys don't work out. Because not everybody's going to work out. You can get out from under it without it killing you. You know, you can't like the Giants traded Odell Beckham Jr. Man, has a lot of money on dead cap money on that because they just signed him. lot of dead cap money on Odell Beckham Jr.
Sure, I think between him and Olivier Vernon, they're looking at like $24, $25 million in dead cap space. Just
cap
those
space.
Two guys alone.
Right, and that hurts you. That hurts your ability to do things. So I do like that the Cardinals spent, they signed a lot of players, but they didn't commit a lot of guarantees to those players.
And that way, when they get some of those guys wrong, and they will, and they're not going to get them all right, when they get some of the guys they picked up in free agency wrong, it won't kill them. It won't.
Well, a lot of them are 1 year deals, and then when the year's up, that's it. They're gone.
Sure.
Nothing counts on the cap that next year, and that's a good thing. Now you got guys with multiple year deals like Hicks and Sweezy. So there are some guys. Robert Alford's a 3 year deal. There are guys with multiple year deals, but you know, a lot of the players were 1 year deals.
Now there are still some things the Cardinals need to do, and our buddy Jess Root over at CardsWire.com, we cite his work quite a bit.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Points out that they have not, and I don't know about you, I've actually gotten a number of tweets from listeners who have said, hey, when are you going to talk about why the Cardinals haven't done anything on the defensive line? They need to add players on the defensive line. Well, it's probably time to talk about that, because as Jess points out at CardsWire.com, they have not made a single move on the defensive line this offseason. They've added corners, linebackers, a receiver, the offensive line, but because they're moving back to a 3-4 defense, they're going to need those players to rotate on the defensive line. Right now, Corey Peters, Passoni Tessini, and Vincent Valentine. There's a fourth defensive tackle, Robert Kamdichi, but he tore his ACL, so he's probably not going to be ready for the start of the season. They need bodies at that spot. Now, there were a lot of things they needed to do, so I'm not going to hold their feet to the fire for not having done anything about it yet. But at some point, they're going to have to add some bodies on that defensive line to help out with that rotation, because that's a position that needs bodies, needs depth.
Maybe should have been at that Alabama Pro Day with that Quinnen Williams guy.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Listen,
you think that's why they're not
signing
anybody in free agency? Because
I think you're going to rotate. You still get, you know, is Rodney Gunter coming back? I mean, he's a pretty good player. I mean, he could come back. That would help out a whole lot. You could draft Bosa, or you could draft Quinnen Williams. The thing is, Quinnen's going to play more nose tackle, you know, defensive end, where Bosa's more of an outside linebacker. So Bosa is more of a linebacker, where Quinnen Williams would be more of the interior guy that could play both nose tackle and then on that outside edge there in the 3-4. So for needs based on what they've done right now, they seem to be pretty set with the four linebackers, but they need help on the interior.
There was a story on Revenge of the Birds. They listed potential Week 2 free agents, and I don't think you've had time to check on any of these guys doing what you do, so we'll just throw some names out there. I don't know if any of these guys are legitimate options for the Cardinals or not. One of them was Gunter, who had, I thought, a really good year last year. He was actually, if you can believe it, second in the Cardinals in sacks behind Chandler Jones last year.
Give me the list. I'll check on it for you.
Rodney Gunter is one. I'm assuming I think you've reported before they have interest in bringing him back.
Yes,
I think he's kind of feeling out what the market is. Nose tackle Danny Shelton.
He played at Washington.
Yes.
I remember, he was a good player in college, man. He was so good.
Brent Urban. He was an end in the Ravens 3-4 scheme. He's a big guy. And then Muhammad Wilkerson.
Former Jets.
Those are the four players listed by Revenge of the Birds. Gunter, I hope he comes back. I would like him to come back.
Okay. I'll check on it for you. I'll have an answer for you.
I'm just curious, the marketplace for him, I thought he was going to get paid. I'm not
Gunter?
I thought he was going to get paid a decent amount of money. Yeah. I thought paid being relative to a guy of his age and experience and how many snaps he plays.
He's not old.
I thought he was going to get a decent chunk of change out there. I'm kind of surprised he didn't go in that first wave.
Yeah. No, I like him. I mean, I do. I like him. What's he, 27?
Let's put it this way. I'm more surprised that Marcus Golden signed before Rodney.
Yeah, but he's
Gunter.
Got the potential for double digits.
He does, but coming off the injury and the so-so play last year, playing after that injury, I'll be honest with you, I expected Gunter to go before Marcus Golden. I'm kind of surprised it's the other way around. So,
yeah, he's, I mean, I do like him. At 27 years old, he's Not going to get a big contract, but he could, he's versatile enough where you could play him at different spots on that line. He does make sense to me to bring back, and maybe they feel good about bringing him back.
We have the Burns and Gambo podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. Opening day, just over a week away. Still some questions the Diamondbacks need to address, and one of the answers to those questions just came down a moment ago. We'll tell you what that answer is coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. Well, don't be mad at me because of how I teased it. The thing we learned about the Arizona Diamondbacks for the 2019 season, we kind of figured, but it wasn't official until moments ago. Torey Lovullo says Zach Greinke will start on opening day for the Diamondbacks.
Not surprised. I mean, what options did you have? There was no other options.
There really wasn't.
As long as Greinke was healthy and ready to go, he's your opening day starter.
There was a brief blip of conversation given that he and Robbie Ray both made starts on the same day, giving Torey the option to choose one or the other, but I don't know why. I mean, last year he wasn't the opening day starter in part because he was dealing with, I think it was a groin injury. And Patrick Corbin, you know, was seen as possible his last year with the Diamondbacks, which it was. And it was kind of a little cookie that was given to Patrick Corbin to be an opening day starter. But I don't know what the option would have been.
Give it to Greinke in his final year with the D-backs, his final chance to start opening day before they trade him at the deadline.
Boy, that is the question. Is this...
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
The final opening day start as a member of the Diamondbacks for Zach Greinke?
I've told you my reasoning all along. Zach Greinke's contract is perfect to trade at the deadline because by the deadline, and what's the deadline this year?
July 31st, I think.
July 31st.
Yeah.
Okay, by that time, literally like almost all of the salary has been paid from this year. So, you know, a team getting Zach Greinke now only has to pay like a little bit over 2 years of salary. So this year, his salary is $31 million. By the time you trade him, $20 million of that is gone. $20 million of it's gone. So whoever's getting Greinke now gets him for, like, if you're a playoff-type team, you get him for three playoff seasons at $70 million.
It's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's better. You're not going to have to eat as much of it. I still think if you're the Diamondbacks, you're going to have to eat some of that if you were to move off that contract.
Okay, $20 million will have been paid already.
Sure.
So the only thing that's going to be left on that contract is about $74 million for two seasons plus whatever's left on this year. It makes it easier to trade for a team instead of saying, oh, I don't. Because right now what's left on his contract is $95 million. So you take off 20, now there's $75 million. It's just, I think it's so much easier to trade him on July 31st than it is, you know, than it was this offseason with three full years remaining. You basically, the team will get him for the playoff run without having paid much of his salary this year.
Yeah, and we'll see if it comes to that for the Diamondbacks. A lot of people think it will, depending on how the season goes. But he is your opening day starter. The other decisions, and opening day is, if you can believe it, it's a week from Thursday. I mean, we're here, right? I mean, it's...
And they're in L.A.
And they're... Well, yeah. I meant we're here like it's time. It's time to start thinking about opening day. But they're in L.A. Sure. Next Thursday, 1:10 first pitch. Clayton Kershaw won't start. We don't know who the Dodgers are going to go with. Could be Walker Buehler. Could be somebody else, but it will be Zach Greinke. Torey Lovullo today joined us, and in terms of decisions they need to make, the closer decision... And Torey Lovullo told us today that they're close, but they're not quite there yet.
I can't right now because Archie was nursing a little bit of a stiff neck over the past 6 or 7 days, and he threw his first outing the other day. So that might have put a couple things on hold. Not necessarily on hold, but backed him up by a couple days. But, yeah, I'd like to piece this thing together. I don't want it to be the 24th hour when we're having discussions with these guys. I want them to know so they can gain some comfort.
We pressed him a little, and we said, when would you like to know?
And I know everybody wants to know, and I want to know, too. And I just haven't made that decision yet. I want to get some more information. So I don't know. It definitely won't be the night before opening day. We're going to have our team, our 25 guys, you know, a couple days in advance of opening day. And I'll have my discussions with these guys.
I'm sure he knows.
Yeah. That's Torrey.
I like Torrey. I like Torrey a lot. I'm pretty sure he knows who his closest is going to be.
He knows who his closest is going to be.
I'm pretty sure he knows.
You know, it keeps a lot of those things close to the vest. Yes, and it's just the way him.
But you know what? We should be used to that by now. That's just kind of who he is and how he runs things.
Seems like he's going to stick with the three catchers. It seems like the way he talked about the three catchers was, I got to be talked out of it. Because this is my philosophy.
Yeah, and we asked him about that. Here's what he said when asked, how have you decided on how many catchers you're carrying?
We have not. And, you know, I opened that up to discussion because I was asked that question in a scrum a couple days ago, and we have not made that decision. We are not firm with two or three. We walk through a bunch of different game scenarios. We try to get as creative as possible in our discussions with the front office and the rest of the staff about what the shape of a game will look like, what will happen in this case, and you kind of rehearse and play through any game and any scenario and any circumstance, and at that point you weigh in as to what your needs are, whether you need a certain number of lefties in the bullpen, whether you need long men coming out of the bullpen, whether you need the five starters, but how many guys on your bench are you going to actually be using. So we have some very, very tough decisions that we need to make that are coming down the pipe here.
But to your point, I did follow up with him on a question, and he did say, you're going to have to talk me out of three catchers because I believe in three catchers.
Right.
You're going to have to give me a really good reason why we shouldn't have three catchers.
You know, it's interesting. Yasmani Tomas was optioned down today.
Yes, he was.
He was crushing the ball in spring training.
Where were you going to play him?
There
was nowhere to play him.
Pinch hitter off the bench, a bat. I mean, he hit the ball well.
There's nowhere in the field, you can put him.
He hit like four, I don't remember the exact average. He hit like 440 or something like that.
Do you think there's any chance he makes it up to the D-backs this season?
If there's an injury,
yes.
Maybe.
I mean, if he hits
what about performance?
Tucson.
He's killing it so much down there that they have to bring him up for the bat.
He's not their guy. I wonder about that. Like, he's not. He wasn't brought in by Hazen and
Lovello. I think that's part of it. I think there's a chance, but I think it would require somebody over at first base getting hurt. And even then, I think he's such a defensive liability that they, I think, out of sight, out of mind, let the contract expire and just move
on. He hit 448 in the spring, 13 hits in 29 at-bats, and an OPS of 108.7. He crushed it in spring training. And he doesn't get a spot.
Do you want him to have a spot? Are you advocating for him to have a spot?
I wonder what he has to do to get a spot.
I don't think there's anything he can do to get a spot. That's what I'm telling you. I don't think he's.
I mean, they'll say, oh, he's a liability at first base. He's a liability in outfield. I know that. Well, guy hit 450 in spring training. My goodness, he hit 450. He's getting sent down. Like, I wonder if he should get a shot as a part-time player.
At whose expense? Christian Walker's?
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Let's see how Steven Souza does the first 2 months of the season, too. Okay? Because he's having a terrible spring. And we like him. But he's not having a very good spring. So I'm just, if Tomas continues to hit well in AAA, maybe he'll earn a spot.
Full edition of The Rundown with Luke Lipinski is next. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock from the AT&T store at Tempe Marketplace.
Have a good night, everyone.